It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Great day to study the Word of God. We're in John, the Gospel of John, in the fourth chapter. We're going to begin reading with verse 24 today, maybe even 23. I think we'll probably start there, and then they'll read down through the verse 39 for now. And so please that you will open your Bibles to John chapter 4 and beginning to read with the 23rd verse. While you're doing that and while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. John chapter 4, we're going to begin reading in verse 23. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith to him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And unto this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And then they went out of the city and came unto him. And in the meanwhile the disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? And Jesus said unto him, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. I say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And he that reapeth receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. And herein is that saying true, One sows, another reaps. I sent you to reap that whereunto ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, He told me all that ever I did. And we'll read just a little further. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that they would tarry with him, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own words, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Now after 2 days he departed thence and went into Galilee. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of the Word. Father, I thank and praise you that we can come and enjoy this study today. I just ask that you'll strengthen us and grow us each and every day. It's such a joy to walk with you, dear Lord. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve your blessings. We don't deserve salvation that you have handed to us as a free gift, and yet you've given it to us and you bless us so. And so please, dear Lord, that we look to you and we understand your greatness, your power, your strength. Recognize your salvation that comes to us free, as we will see here in this study. All we need to do is come by faith to you, and you save us. Oh, dear Lord, you send the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts and show us who we are and what we're made of, and that's not a very pretty sight. But you don't leave us there. You give us an opportunity to come and have salvation. And to have salvation is to be back in fellowship with you, dear Father. And I thank and praise you and please that we continue then in fellowship, and we continue in serving you and praising you and honoring you. And so please today, through this study, bring those that are lost to salvation, and those that are saved, bring them to a time of service and praising you and honoring you as we all should. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, the question was in this section of Scripture here, where should you worship? And we know that the discussion was lifted up earlier in there concerning, you know, how many husbands have you had? You say you don't have one, and you say, right. And then Jesus told her exactly how many husbands that she had had, and the man she's living with at that time was not her husband. You'll notice that Jesus did not condemn her for her sin. She was recognizing who she was, and Jesus just shared the truth with her. And then it came into a little stronger than our fathers worship in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Quite a discussion goes on today concerning whether this denomination is right, or this church is right, or that church is right or wrong, or whatever it might be. Base it on the Word of God. That's the only place that we have the truth and an authority, not by some church doctrine. I hope that the Constitution or your church doctrine is completely in line with the Word of God. And if it is, then you haven't got anything to be concerned about, because it's one and the same. And I praise the Lord that ours is one and the same. As we look to the Word of God, or you look to our church constitution, why, you can find it very easily and very quickly that it's one of the same. When you would join this church, why, we go through a study program, an opportunity to sit down and visit together a little bit to show you what we believe. And it is just a super Bible study, and all it is studying the Constitution. What we believe. Well, it's all based upon the Word of God. So when you go according to the Word of God, then it's all, you know, just verses and verses of Scripture backing exactly where we stand and what we believe. I hope that yours is the same. But most people argue, because this one believes in baptism, this one doesn't for salvation, this one believes that you have to you know, take the Lord's Supper for the forgiveness of sins. There's just so many different ways and things, and please, we need to just go to the Word of God, and you confirm whether that's true or a lie, and then continue from there. Well, this woman, it was getting a little too close for her sin, to her sin, and when Jesus quoted how many husbands she'd had and the one she was living with wasn't her husband, that came a little bit too close, so she changed the subject. She started talking about religion, and she talked about, you know, you worship in Jerusalem, I worship here at the Mount. And Jesus clarified that very quickly, because he said salvation is of the Jews. And so ye worship ye know not what, because you see the Samaritans was not worshiping the true God. They were not allowed to worship God anywhere except for in Jerusalem, not upon any mount anywhere, because it was in Jerusalem is where they were to meet the God of Israel, Jehovah. And there was no turning from that. Now, as the Scripture tells us here, but the hour comes and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You see, we can have the opportunity that the age, the church age that we live in today, we have the opportunity to praise and honor our God any place, anywhere. Now, we come together to this building to enjoy a time of fellowship together, because where two or more are gathered, he promises to give us a special blessing. And oh, that's such a joy to have. And we love coming together and singing the beautiful, beautiful, old, powerful hymns. And we come together and have prayer together, and we come together and study God's Word together. And we do it many times through the week. It's such a joy to know and to learn the Word of God. Well, Jesus shared that here. The hour is coming when a true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that's what we do today. You trust in the Lord Jesus Christ by His Word, and the Spirit of God comes to live within us. And so by our Spirit now, and the Spirit of God being in us, looking to the Word of God, the truth, we have an opportunity to worship Him and praise Him. God is a Spirit, the 24th verse says, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so prior to this time, everything was set up on and in a place of the for the worship of the people in Jerusalem, and that was the only place that they were to ever come, and that's the only place they could bring their offerings and their sacrifices. Everything was set in Jerusalem, but that's about to end. The woman said here unto him, I know that the Messiah comes, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Okay, when he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus had quite a response to this. He not only told her originally that you don't know what you're worshiping. Now, that was very clear. And we need to tell a worshiper of cults and false churches that they're wrong. It's just that simple. Jesus told her she was wrong. There's only one place to worship, and that's in Jerusalem. He knew that. Salvation of the Jews, because the Jews were to bring that to all the world. Well, here she gets another awakening because she doesn't realize who she's talking to. And when he comes, he will tell us all things. What did he just tell her? He told her some history and some past that she sure wasn't ready for. But as we look at that now and we see then, he says, I that speak unto thee am he. What a wonderful sharing. I am he. This immediately brings us into the proper place. He finally shares with this woman who he is. I am that Messiah. I am that Lord Jesus. That's the reason I must needs go through Samaria, was to meet with you. And upon this response, now, so we have several things here. She can't understand this living water that we talked about. She wanted it just so she didn't have to come back to the well. It's always physical because, you see, until we're born again, that's all we have. But the day we become born again, trust in Jesus our Savior, now we are back in fellowship with God, and so we understand spiritual things. And so God begins to speak to us in spiritual things and things of that are eternal, everlasting. That's what he is telling us. And he continued then and explained concerning where we were going to worship and how we were going to worship. But also beyond that, then he told her that he was the Messiah. Now, she at that time could have laughed and rejected him and went on, which so many people do. But she didn't do that. Upon this time, though, we're going to break right here because something happens. The disciples come back onto the scene. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And the woman then left her water pot and went her way unto the city and said to the men, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now let's back up here and look just a little bit concerning this discussion that went on with the disciples, because they couldn't understand. I mean, why are you talking to that woman? And not that it's just a woman that he was talking to, but it was a Samaritan woman. Why are you talking with this woman? Yet no man said, seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? And you see, we should learn something from this verse, this 27th verse, and that is when the Word of God tells us something, we need to believe it. And I think the disciples were beginning to grow and beginning to trust in the Lord, that whenever he did something, there was a reason for it. And no one questioned that. They may have wanted to ask, what's going on? How come you're talking to this woman? But they didn't. They didn't. You see, they trusted in him. And we need to do the same thing. This is his living word. We need to trust it. Not some man's writing about this precious word, but his word. We need to trust his word and walk each and every day with it. So we have that in verse 27. And then at 28th verse, oh, that is exciting. That was her job. That's what she, part of her responsibility was to bring water back. Great big old water pot. And as she would carry that and some, you know, carried on their heads, some on their shoulders, as they would carry this back home, she no longer cared for that water pot. That's the reason she came to the well, was to get water. But she didn't care. She left her water pot. You know, we need to learn again from that as well, that we get excited when we are born again and we're excited to serve. We're excited to share the gospel and tell folks about the Lord Jesus. And let's see what she did. She come back to the city and said to the men, this is probably, I mean, if she's had five husbands and the one that she's with right now is not her husband, who knows where she was going back to. But the first people she ran into was a group of men. And when we find them, what does she say to them? She doesn't give them an opportunity to say, what happened to your water pot? Why didn't you bring water back to us? She said immediately, come see a man which told me all things that I did. Is this not the Christ? Remember, she had some understanding. She knew where the Jews worshipped. She knew where she worshipped, two different places. She listened to the Lord Jesus as Jesus began slowly to show her her life, show her that she needed a Savior, and then showed her that He is that Savior. It's exactly what the Holy Spirit does today. First, it shows us our life, shows how wicked we are, how miserable we are, and then brings the next beautiful step of introducing to us the Lord Jesus. So you see, the Spirit of God does the same thing today as happened here. It was a very slow process. It was a very wonderful process. As the Spirit of God convicts the heart. Jesus was standing right there speaking to her, and yet she did not know that it was the Son of God. Instead, He said, I that speak unto thee am He. And the Spirit of God will be the same, will come and show you your sin. And then not long, the Spirit of God will introduce to you the Son of God, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Will you trust in Him today? Will you look to Him today? I hope that you do. I hope that you don't tarry one more day. I don't care where you go to church if you've never attended church. I want you to trust in Jesus today. It will be the greatest change of your life that you've ever made, the day that you meet Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Son of God, Creator of the world. Oh, the power and the strength and the energy, wisdom and knowledge that you'll gain. Please look to the Lord Jesus today for salvation. We see here that He says, come and see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto Him. They listened to her. When she said, is this not the Christ? They immediately come. In the meanwhile, the disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat. Now, we got some things going on here, and so we've got the Samaritan woman that she had spoken and listened to the Lord Jesus. It excited her to know that this was the Messiah because He told me everything that I've ever done. And so, isn't this the Christ? And so, then she leaves her water pot, and meanwhile, the disciples come back and saw Jesus talking to this woman and couldn't understand, but didn't ask. Because they trusted, they knew whatever He was doing was right and proper. And so, you see, they didn't question that. She left her water pot, she left her job, she left her responsibility. She didn't care because she had something to say. And she went back to her place, back into the city, and she told the men, come and see. Well, they came and wanted to come and see. In the meanwhile, as the Scripture says, the disciples said, Master, let's eat. You know, we went in to buy food to eat. You were hungry. You were tired. You were exhausted. And so now please eat, dear Lord, please. But let's see what we have here. And again, in the meanwhile, His disciples prayed Him, saying, Master, eat, verse 31. Verse 32, but He said unto him, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought Him aught to eat? And then Jesus said in verse 34, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. You know, you can be hungry, and this is exciting. This is fun when you're growing as a Christian and you haven't eaten. Maybe you haven't slept for a long period of time. And yet, if you will go to the Word of God and you enjoy studying the Word of God, or someone comes and you have an opportunity to share the gospel, to tell them about the saving power of Jesus, the Jesus that you know in your heart. All of a sudden, hunger is gone. All of a sudden, that being so tired that you can't hardly move is gone. You're energized again. Well, you see, more important than ever sitting down to eat was telling people that I am the Messiah. That was what Jesus was doing. And it should be the same with us. Our heart should be so excited and so thrilled when we get a chance to tell somebody about Jesus. Oh, it shouldn't matter whether we haven't eaten or haven't had anything to drink or haven't had a night's sleep for a while. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The excitement of knowing Jesus. I love teaching the Word of God, and it energizes me when I have an opportunity, and we have many studies of the Word of God in a week's time, and the more I study, the more excited I get, and the more energized I get. And the Lord allows me to go home and get a good night's sleep. I don't require a lot of sleep. He gives me a good night's sleep and re-energizes me physically so I can go back to do it again and again and again. But you look to the Word of God. Because God's living Word, once you know Jesus as your Savior, and then you search His Word, that's where the power and that's where the strength comes from. And so now, as we continue here, we find that they want to know, you know, Master, eat, and I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Doing my Father's will, that's what energizes me. That's what satisfies me. And my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work. And that should be the goal of every believer, every person that's come by faith to the Lord Jesus, is to sit down and look at how we're to work and the service we're to be doing and get about doing it. Get about doing it. It's time that we have risen up and stop sitting down and be busy about the work of God. And he continues here and tells us this. Say ye not that there are yet 4 months and then comes harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. In the crops and the harvesting, the farming that they did here, it took 4 months from the time they planted till they were harvesting. And so it don't tell me that there isn't a harvest, because I'm telling you there is a harvest. As it says here, this is a beautiful scripture, don't say that there is yet 4 months and then comes a harvest. I say, and you lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. You see, they understand because they're farmers. They understand because they're men that work with their hands. They understand spring and planting and harvest. And so he uses that as an example here. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal. For both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Now, normally the person that plants is the person that harvests. And so this is just a little bit different here because he's saying that that's not necessarily so. There's already people that have sown and you're going to reap. But here we are reaping a reward that is eternal. And so when you plant here soybeans or corn or wheat, and you sow the wheat and you wait and you take the harvest, or maybe it's some good alfalfa hay or some clover hay or whatever it is that you've sown, and then you wait the period of time and then you go out to harvest, and you know exactly when it's time to harvest. And so you go out and you prepare the equipment and you're ready to go, and you bring in the harvest. Well, you bring in that harvest because he that reapeth receiveth wages. Now, if you would plant but never harvest, you couldn't live, could you? So you see here that we have the picture of the farmer as he plants and he harvests. But when it comes to the work of the Lord, it's a little bit different, because someone could have planted the seed of salvation. In other words, telling somebody about the cross of Calvary, and you need to be saved. You need to come by faith to Jesus and be saved. And so you see, when that is is planted, then we know that God, he gives the increase. And we need to come, and you may even come and be one that does a little watering to nourish that and bring that on a little closer. And then someone else may come by and say to them, would you please trust in Jesus as your Savior? And by then, the Spirit of God has gotten His full will with you, and you have surrendered to Him, and you're a child of God. You've accepted Jesus as your Savior. So you see, I will be the one, or someone else would be the one, that would gain the harvest. He's saying the fields are widened to harvest. There's been much seed sown, and it's time for harvest. Now, through the radio ministry, I don't know, we're planting, we're doing a little watering, God is giving the increase, and all of a sudden now there's a harvest. Now, through the radio, have you trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Do you believe the Word of God? Or maybe this is the first time you have heard it, and so now we are planting. Or maybe you have heard it in the past, but you never thought much about it. But the more you think, the more you ponder on it, the more you wonder, is it true? Is it true? Yes, it's true, and please come today and trust in Jesus, because gathered fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together, wherein it is that saying true, one sows, another reaps. I send you to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. And so this is a joy that we have. I don't have to be the one to do the planting in order to enjoy the harvest. I can do the planting, or I can do the harvesting. I can do either. We just need to know that trust in the Lord, and He will bring this to come. It'll bring it to come to pass. And please that you trust in Jesus Christ. What a beautiful teaching. He was teaching the Samaritan woman. And we turn around here, and then he turns and he begins to continue to instruct and teach the disciples. And so he is teaching them, and then when we kind of change scenes again, and then we find that many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. All you have to do is follow the leadership of this woman. And it says here, the woman then left her water pot. This is the 28th verse of chapter 4 of John. The woman then left her water pot and went her way unto the city and saith unto the man, come and see. Come and see. If you're born again, you need to just do that. Will you come and see? Will you trust in Jesus? Some scripture verses tell us to taste and see, come and see. Jesus is your Savior. He's my Savior. I hope that you trust Him today so He can become your Savior. He has died on the cross for you, but until you come by faith and trust in Him. You see, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see, the gift, it's a gift that you need to accept and say, thank you, Jesus. I accept you. I want you to come into my heart, and I want you to save me. We've looked at Nicodemus, you must be born again. We've looked at the Samaritan woman. We've looked and found now that the harvest was white, ready to be harvested, because by this woman going, the Scripture says, many, many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the saying of the woman. What'd she say? Come and see. He's told me some things that I can't believe. Is this not the Christ? Come and see. And they believed upon her word. And then we know by the other verses here that it does continue, and others are saved. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?